You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete has been around Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have. The father has now turned the day-to-day operations of the business over to the son, and they have decades and decades of expertise and experience in all things concrete, and it's generally good experience. They have a great network of resources. They know how to schedule. They know how to get the best prices. They have all of the tools. They have. They know what's got to be done before the pour, during the pour, after the pour. How long it's supposed to set up and cure, and how to get it cleaned up, and then they know how to get out of the way so your project can move forward. If you are thinking of a concrete job that needs to be done, I will tell you Jits Concrete may be a great resource for you. 321-536-5804. They have tackled a number of projects for us at the church. They've done some projects for me at my house. They do a great, great job. And I know that if you reach out to them, that they could put their skill set to work for you and accomplish great things there as well. So concrete is one of those unforgiving materials. If you mess it up, it's not just like you go out there with an eraser and you know, a few quick strokes and you have a clean slate again. No, if you mess up concrete, you are going to be sore when you get that situation back to where you can do it right the next time. So I have a solution for that in my life, and that is I call Jits Concrete. Every once in a while, these construction jobs show up on my social media feed, and I watch these videos, and because I've done so much construction, through the years, they kind of intrigue me, and I'll find myself watching them for just a minute, and then I have to remind myself, oh yeah, I never intend on doing that ever again. And so then I say, I'm done with that. Jits Concrete. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program, 321-536-5804. And we're blessed to know them. We're in Psalm 139. Yesterday I was talking about God search me and know my heart, know me in my innermost being. Danny and I were having a conversation. I was doing some stretching in the chair, and he said, you know, you could go out there and run a couple of laps in the parking lot if you'd like. And I was like, you obviously don't know me in my innermost being very well. I can run, but it is certainly not anything that I enjoy doing. I can do it if I have to, probably should do it more, but it's not something. Now, if he told me to go out there and play 18 holes of golf, I could do that and feel really, really good about myself. But running is not something that I find as enjoyable as I did in my younger life. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. King James Version says, know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So David's motivation for inviting God to examine his life was he wanted God to see if there was any wicked way in David. It's interesting how David puts that compared to the way that modern society approaches it. David approached God as the expert in wickedness because wickedness is anything that is contrary to his holiness. Modern society tends to say, God, your definition of wickedness is archaic. We're going to redefine it according to our terms. And what you call evil, we're going to call good. What you call good, we're going to call evil. But God is the one who is the expert on things. If he says something is evil, if he says something is wicked, it's wicked. There's no faulty judgment on his part. And so, as we've prayed, God, search me, God, try me. As we've prayed, God, you know me better than I know myself, know my heart and know my thoughts. David now comes and says, God, see if there's any wicked way in me. Examine me for wickedness. Wickedness is anything that is not pleasing to God, and it's anything that will not be in heaven. Our threshold of acceptance of wickedness should be none. Our goal should not be to have the minimal amount of God in our life that will get us to heaven. Our goal should be to have little to no wickedness in our life so that we can live our life pleasing and acceptable to God. So, in heaven, there will be no wickedness, and so our tolerance should be none. I remember hearing a story one time about a family that had approached their dad, and they were wanting to do something that had some inappropriate material. They were wanting to go watch a movie with inappropriate material in it. And their response when their dad challenged them on that was, well, Dad, it's really not that much. And he said, okay, let's, you know what, how would y'all like some brownies? And he went and he made a batch of brownies, and he brought them back and he said, would y'all like some brownies? And they said, well, we love brownies. And he said, well, I just need you to know that these brownies, it didn't really have it that way, but these brownies, I only have a little bit of the water from the dog's bowl. You know, the dog used to hydrate himself. And so there's only a few food particles, and there's only a few dog hairs that were in the bowl. But that's the bowl that I used to make the brownies. Would y'all like some brownies? And they said, No, we don't want that. That's gross. And he said, well, it's only a little bit of, you know, contamination from the dog. Why don't you want the brownies? And we don't want any contamination from the dog. And he said, well, why would you want to go watch the movie that had inappropriate material in it, and yet you won't eat a brownie because it has the water from the dog's bowl? You see, we think that we have a greater tolerance for wickedness in our life, and that you know, we're just tough enough. We can handle it, but we're using the wrong metric. The metric should be no wickedness in my life at all. David didn't say reduce it down to a more acceptable level. He said, see if there is any wicked way in me. God, if you find wickedness, purge it. So this word here that is used for wickedness, it's got several different ways that it was described in the Greek lexicon. In all honesty, it wasn't the word for wickedness that I expected to find. And so I want to invite you to stick with me over the next couple of broadcasts here, because we're going to look at some of those areas. There was a term called Beth Haven, and that meant house of wickedness. That was what I was expecting this word to be, where it was rebellion and iniquity and evil, things that were completely and totally displeasing to God. But as I got into, you know, this dive, another way that this word was translated, God is, see if there is any idolatry in me. See if there's any idolatry in me. So I grew up on the edge of civilization. We didn't live in the city, but you could see it from our house. Literally a quarter of a mile away from where I spent my high school years, you could see the beginnings of a shopping mall. And that shopping mall, it took them, the person that started building the shopping mall went bankrupt. Somebody else bought it, then they went bankrupt. I think it took about 14 years before that shopping mall ever got built. And then it lasted as a shopping mall for a number of years. Now it's just basically a business area. It's not really a retail area or anything like that. There was another shopping center across the street. That's not what it used to be back then either. And so that was the area I grew up. I had a horse for a neighbor to my grandfather's property that when I walked home from high school, that horse would come over and I'd spend some time petting the horse and singing some worship songs that we had sang in youth group. So I lived out in the country. Well, life took me on from there, and we moved to another state and served on church, and then we ended up moving to Florida, and we've been in Florida for many, many years now. And just a little thing here. I remember that first week we were in Florida. It was the week of Thanksgiving, and we went out into the ocean, and we couldn't imagine why everybody else wasn't out in the ocean, because the temperature was mild compared to what we came from, and the water was crisp, but wasn't too bad. Then the next year we tried to go, and it's like, this water is freezing. It was not that the water had changed, but our tolerance had. So didn't go into the water anymore during that season or that time of the year, except for, I think when we had been in Florida for 25 years, I went and did my polar plunge in the freezing waters of the Atlantic Ocean, just to say that I could do that. Well, the reason I tell you that story about where I grew up is when we went home one day, my parents were driving us over, I believe, to a family member's house. And what had been a couple of cow pastures before, now there were two two centers of idol worship. Big, big idols set up in what used to be a cow pasture. And what I found entertaining about that was not the fact that idolatry was now right down the street from where my parents lived. That was disturbing. But I found that these idols were positioned facing one another, and so I considered it the dueling idols. And I will tell you this. The devil doesn't care which lie you believe as long as you just believe one of his lies. And I can also tell you this. In the kingdom of darkness, there will not be any enduring unity. There will be hostility that breaks out in the different factions of wickedness at some point in time. So if we were to say, God, see if there are any figurines or any idols in my life, most of us would say, no, we don't have any of those. But an idol is not just some little statue, but it is anything or anyone that is positioned where only God should sit. An idol is something that displaces God either positionally on the throne or as the utmost priority in our time, in our focus, in our worship. The New Testament describes that greed is idolatry because it puts money at the source of contentment and the source of peace. And God is the only one that is going to adequately be able to sit upon the throne. An idol may appear to have ears and mouths and hands that represent functionality, but they do not function. I remember hearing a person who was a believer, and he went to this temple where idols were worshiped, and he was intrigued by all of the machinations that people were going through in their act of worship. And so he walked around and he looked at the ears and he said, yep, that's what I thought. The ears don't work. And you and I, we should be thankful we have a God who hears, a God who loves, a God who redeems. He is not a unfunctioning God. He is a very active God. God is the object of our worship, and no one else should be in that place. And as such, God is worthy of our best. He's worthy of the best of our present, not just the best of our future. Being famous is a lousy idol. If you don't believe me, look at the famous people in the world, and all you've got to do is look at them and see a lot of the discontentment and the misery that is going on in their life, and you'll see that just because they're famous doesn't make them godly. In fact, many times that fame is a trap. In 2026, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that the enemy tries to use to trap people and how Jesus comes to set us free. And so there's a lot more there than what you think. We're going to be touching on some things that may hit close to home for us. And so, but you know, the truth of the matter is Jesus said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We want God's people to be free. God is worthy of our best. Power is a very poor idol. I don't care how powerful a person is now. Their power, their authority does not have any sort of enduring eternality to it. It endures for a moment. So we had a landscaping project. By the way, when I came back to Florida, I called Dan from Treasure Your Landscape, and I said, Dan, what do I need to do to get rid of this situation in another state? I'm not there. I can't take care of that myself. And he explained to me what to do. But several years ago, I had some people come in and wipe all of this overgrowth out of this piece of property, only to be back there about 6 weeks or so ago to find that it had grown back just as furious as it was a few years ago. And it's like, I am whatever power I had to resolve that, you know, back then, it didn't last. This is going to be something that many people, you know, don't want to consider, but it's true. Beauty is a lousy idol. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I will tell you that the Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. There can be people who have more pleasant aesthetics than some other people do as far as eyes go. But I always like to ask people, what's the nature of their heart like? Because a person who is beautiful but unfaithful is not beautiful. A person who is beautiful but immoral is not beautiful. A person who is beautiful and contentious is not beautiful. Beauty is something that society says you've got to do everything that you can to hold on to your physical appearance. And I will tell you that is a fool's errand, in that you are never going to be able to win that race. And so, just like my project in that other state, that I made everything look amazing, and then I came back and it was all overgrown again. I want to encourage you, pursue the beauty of holiness, not just the beauty of physical appearance. Your career is a lousy idol. My grandfather worked for the same company for 52 years, I believe it was. He had started when the original owner founded that company, and that original owner treated those employees like family to a large extent. And he had promised my grandfather, he said, you can have a job here as long as you like. And there were a lot of people that he told to, and so there were people there with decades of experience, and my grandfather loved to work. He really did. I don't remember too many times. I mean, there were some family vacations, but I remember my grandfather getting up, going to work, coming home, working on his yard, working on his truck, working on his boat, and doing service calls and repairing air conditioners and all that sort of stuff. I that's what I remember about him, and he would have worked until he couldn't have worked anymore, except for the company got sold, and one day the new owners came in and said, your services are no longer required. And while they celebrated his longevity, his career was no longer going to be with that company. It's a lousy idol. Your family is not meant to be an idol. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about that we are not supposed to have healthy and holy families. We are. But many people put their family relationships ahead of their relationship with God, and then wonder why there's dysfunction with their family. God is the source of healthy families. Hobbies if we are not careful, our hobbies can become idols, in that they encroach upon the time, the resources, and the thoughts that we think. And so David says here, God, would you create in me, or would you examine me and see if there is any wicked way in me, anything that is sitting where you're supposed to sit. So our mission at Merit Assembly of God is to be a blessing. But the first goal is to be a blessing to God. And that sets the stage for everything else. After that, we want to be a blessing to our family. And I've known ministers who equated ministry with their relationship with God, and those two things are not equal. I'm talking about your personal relationship with God. There are a lot of people that I know that their families dissolved because they got things in the wrong sequence. So we want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to the church. The church is God's creation. And just the same way as the family is God's creation. The family was created before the church. God created the family. God created the church. And he also created the commission of us reaching out to the community. So we want to make sure that we get things in the right order. Idolatry gets things in the wrong order. And it just like a combination lock that I had, and I never could remember. It had been a long time since I used that lock, and I couldn't remember the numbers and the right sequence. And that ended up being a paperweight that I threw away in the trash can because I couldn't get things in the right order. God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order, and he wants us to get, as Peter Lord said, he wants us to keep the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing, and our relationship with God is the main thing. When things are in the proper order, our life goes so much better. Don't get the second commandment ahead of the first. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others of yourself. Life will go so much better that way. God, see if there be any wickedness in me. See if there's any idolatry in me. And if there is, get it out. In Jesus' name, we'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.